we were very much a soccer family, like the majority of people in Wexford. I was Albion and North End. I remember back when I was really, really young, I was actually fairly obese, and I went to a dietitian that said, you need to go play sport. So I went and played soccer, and you can imagine what position I was playing, like, you know.
Sure, yeah. Same as myself, yeah, I'd say.
Straight in the goal, like, so. And then I just, one of the lads on the street had said to me, like, here, look, you're a big lad, you know, we got a sport for you. I hadn't a clue what it was. You know, no one in my family had played at that stage, so. Gave it a go from there, and the rest is history. Now it's my career. It's allowing me to hopefully buy a house and put food on my table, so it's brilliant. And I suppose in terms of my mother, she was with me the whole way. She started just, you know, sandwiches and soups and curries and stuff after my, you know, under 14, under 16 games. And I suppose then it's, you know, like any good club, if you hang around too much, you get nabbed for a job, and then you get nabbed for another job, and you get nabbed for another job. And
yeah.
All of a sudden she's in the committee, and then when you're on that committee, then you get nabbed for the South East committee, and then when you're on the South East committee, you get nabbed for the Leinster committee, and yeah, it's a domino effect, I suppose. But yeah, she's junior vice, so I think it's next season she'll be president. Looking forward to that now. Look forward to it.
You'll have to work for Mammy again.
Oh, this is the thing. Yeah, it's a weird thing because it's a volunteer position. We were talking about it in the office there the other day, you know, talking about calling her Madam President and stuff. And it's like, no, she's just Ma to me. She'll only be Ma, like, you know. I won't be calling her Madam President. Not a hope, like, you know. So that's the way it'll stay, like, you know.
But it is amazing when you think that, you know, you only started at 13 and now you're so deeply embedded in the Leinster rugby system that you've gone basically all the way up through the schemes and you know, you're basically running the place now, the Coyotes.
Yeah, we're kind of taking over, yeah. Yeah, it's just, I think of the way I went, I suppose, played the whole way up to under 18 and then I suppose I looked at, when I was doing my leaving cert, I was like, what was the next step? And the exercise and sport rugby course was on in Carlow at the time. Carlow IT, I think it's changed to sports management now, title of it is. So I went and did that then, and I had a qualification from it. And I suppose that's a great kick up the behind, I suppose, to get you motivated when you're out of college with a degree. It's like, right, well, you better go do something with it now, you know. Funny enough, my first job for Leinster in West Offaly was my first job.
Not really a rugby stronghold, I'd say.
Not at the time, no. It was in Forban and stuff like that. So they are building West Offaly Lions. They started off with a senior rugby team. When that kind of fell apart, they realised, right, well, you know, shameless plug here of Leinster's slogan, from the ground up, you know, they needed to build up from the minis up. But I did a year there, and man that was in the Wexford position was retiring in a year. So Stephen Gore was the line manager at the time, and he said, look, are you interested? So I went and worked in worked in the Lock and Key for a year down Monk Street.
Oh, yes.
So, so I went and worked there for a year, and then I went to Leinster, and the rest is history then. I was in the position around Wexford for 4 years, and then I got the promotion. It's kind of, it just gets faster and faster, to be honest with you. It's a bit like my mother's role. Once they offer you something, another thing comes, you know.
And of course, you have plenty of coaching experience as well, you know, helping out in Scorthy with the Towns Cup winning team and then going out to Carlow and stuff like that. So was coaching always part of your plan then? Were you, even when you were about 18, did you think, yeah, coaching is something I want to do?
No, not even close.
Okay, yeah.
it was, sure, I think any 17, 18-year-old lad still thinks he's going to play for Leinster and the Lions in Ireland, you know. You know, I think that's a good way to think, you know. But I remember I had to get a little surgery on my lower back. It was not until rugby, it was just to get done. Martin Fenlon at the time was coaching the under-17s out in Wexford, and he knew that I played at a high enough standard up in Carlow IT, and he's like, here, out you go. Come on, give me a hand here with the warm-up or whatever. And Martin was a bit like, you know, that Homer Simpson meme, you know, where he goes back into the bush.
Into the bush, yeah, yeah.
yeah, that was very much it. And all of a sudden, I was, you know, after a year, I was the head coach. And, you know, then it was just a weekly thing. It never ended, you know. So, yeah, so I went from there and I started coaching at Carlow IT as well. Won 2 All-Irelands with the lads there as well. Great, great bunch of lads. It's a very strange situation. And a coach instructor, because you have on one side of the pitch, you have a lad that might have only picked up rugby a month ago, And then on literally packing down beside him is, say, Greg McGrath, who's now playing for Connacht. You know, you have AIL players. It's crazy just the balance that you have in it. Like, and it just works.
But, I suppose the turnover as well when you're in a college like that, you know, you're never really working with the same players for a sustained period of time. It's always, you know, new lads coming in.
Yeah, I was there for 3 years. So I was with that same crop of lads there for 3 years.
Okay.
So good. We were able to build... We were able to build on that. But while that, then I suppose I looked at it and went, how do I need to make this my job, I suppose. What do I need to do, you know? So I looked around the South East and went, what's the most successful club in the South East? And at the time, it was Enniscorthy. And my boss, Declan O'Brien, was coaching at the time. And I says, right, what can I do? Sure. I can give you these 2 nights. What do you want? So I came in as a performance analyst in the club and won 2 Towns Cups and got promotion at the AIL. So it was a fantastic learning experience in that club, you know? And they're flying it now in the AIL. It's great to see, thanks to the work of Declan and Huzz. And I know Ben Mannion is doing a lot of good work this year as well. And
like you say, it is great to see that a Wexford team is up in the AIL now, and not just, you know, hanging on by their fingernails. They're, you know, they probably should have got promoted except for COVID came, and they're basically on that track again.
Leinster League 1A is very competitive. Super competitive. And unfortunately, you know, with the round robin, only a certain amount of teams can go through the AIL, but there's teams in 1A that can really put it up with Division 2C in AIL. Like, and Enniscorthy are proof and put of that. Like,
what we actually got you on for is to talk a bit about the Walking Rugby initiative that's been set up with Sports Active Wexford. So just explain to us, I mean, Walking Rugby, it kind of tells us in the title, but what is Walking Rugby and how does it work?
To be very clear on this one, it's a pilot. So we wanted to see where it went. So Walking Rugby is a modified version of rugby that is more accessible to people of all ages and disabilities. So it's suited for players returning back to the game or players that are new to the game. And it's really suitable for people with physical and intellectual. So I suppose this has been a kind of brainchild of mine for the last kind of 2 years, and COVID kind of got in the way, so I wasn't able to deliver it. So I've been looking at it, saying to train there the other day, I've been looking at it with rose-tinted glasses now, where I think everything looks great. You know, I'm like, oh, this is the greatest game in the world. It can't fail. So I was like, right, actually, I need to get a group of people in the Josephs here now and see, okay, what works and what doesn't work. So Trina was able to get me some players from Windmill, therapeutic services there. In Wexford Town. So she got me those, and she got me some ladies from their Walk and Tone group that they go around Minrhine Park as well. So we got all ages, we got all abilities, and got some fantastic feedback. Stuff that I completely was oblivious to, you know, like game needs to be longer, pitch needs to be bigger. Good observations. A sponge ball is needed. That is a fact. You know, some people glasses, they don't even fly. They went flying a couple of times, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was good. The general consensus was for about a half an hour, 45 minutes work. I think you're talking around 3,000 or 4,000 steps. It was we were tracking on our watches. Like, so good. It's a good way of getting active, but it's very much a pilot. So for me, it's where do we go next? You know, can we roll out a 6-week program, an 8-week program? And I suppose massive thanks goes to Sports Active and Wexford as well. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to run this. It just would have been me and the other 2 development officers and the Josephs throwing rugby balls into a basketball hoop, you know. So,
absolutely.
Special shout out there to Trina and Mary and Fran and Sports Active and Anna as well. They're a massive supporter of us in Leinster Rugby, and we have a partnership with the Wexford as well. So, yeah, I'm very appreciative of them, and I don't think it's going to be the end of this either. I suppose we'll try to link in with maybe Wexford Mental Health Services, RD, even other disability services like that. So we'll try and get something going. The aim is to hopefully get a blitz, you know, big day, big event where everyone can mingle in together and we can just play walk. Just for the minute, we need to learn what our capabilities are. Like, I found out one there very quickly yesterday was certain players have to score American football style. It's something you overlook and you go, Jesus Christ, why didn't I think of that, you know?
And what I really like about it is obviously, you know, physicality is such a huge part of rugby, and it's, you know, it has been even more so, I'd say, since the game has gone professional. And if somebody is looking from the outside, that's what they think. They think, oh, there's big hits in rugby. I don't want my son playing that. I don't want my daughter playing that. But for a sport like this, you know, for walking rugby, a scheme like this, to a certain extent, it shows that this sport can be open to everybody, and that rugby has been seen as kind of a closed shop in Ireland for years and years. And this is another way of the sport being more inclusive to people outside of.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose that's my number one job, is promotion, participation. Doesn't matter, you know, we don't, in Leinster, we don't care how old you are, what skin colour you have, what religion, what, doesn't matter. We just want to see you with a rugby ball in your hands. So walking rugby, like you said, like rugby's a game about evasion. That's the thing that people, I think, don't realise. It's a game about evasion and avoiding contact. Problem is when one player avoids, the other player is trying to stop. So, and then we get the collisions, you know, that's where we get it. But rugby is very much an evasion sport. But walking rugby, like, we have certain rules in there, like if there is more than physical we do a two-handed touch just to stop players. Mm-hmm. So we learned from yesterday that, you know, we aimed for the hips, but we went, actually, no, probably just a shoulder tap was probably the best one, because we could start a ball or something like that. So yeah, it's very inclusive. That's what we noticed yesterday. Just looking across everyone that was in the venue, like, we had everything. Every box was there, you know. And regardless of that, I think it's a very easy game for anyone to pick up, even in a school program as well. You know, so players that are new and they're like, actually, you know, I might give this a go, but I don't really understand it. It's a good opportunity to have a look at it and then maybe branch into the touch string rugby as well that we have. Mm-hmm. Everything is full contact, you know.
And obviously, we were speaking about you coming through at Wanderers, and there's a great generation of talent coming through there as well. You know, you've got Ben Popplewell, you've got the Deanies, Josh O'Connor, you mentioned Greg McGrath. What is it about Wexford Wanderers that's, you know, this generation is coming through? It's all spreading up at the same moment.
Yeah, that's a difficult question. I suppose it goes down to the volunteers. That's the number one thing there. I think if you go out to Park Lane there on any night during the week, the first thing that you'll notice is the dedication from the volunteers, and that they actually genuinely care about the players. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are certain coaches and volunteers out there that are maybe coaching more than one team. They might have a daughter or a son in rugby out there, and they're out there 4 nights a week. I think what also helps is that we do have a very good support network with our Southeast Development Squad in the Southeast as well, which we bring in players at 15 years old, and we bring them through to Shane Horgan Cup, where they play the other areas. And then from that, they go Leinster Youths. But the constant thing for that is, once they're on the pathway, they keep going back to their club, bringing it back to their club. So even if the likes of, say, Paul and Brian Deeney and Pops and Josh and stuff like that, where they are the best players on the team, when they're playing for their club, they're also making everyone else better.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know, that's... Oh, absolutely. And you see that, I suppose, at Wexford, and has a massive successful youth team there, or youth system there. I suppose the challenge for the club is, how did they convert that into the senior setup? And that's been a challenge for a long time now. But their youth system is set on it, I suppose.
Speaking of the senior section, you know, they're kind of struggling a little bit in their Leinster League at the minute, but, you know, there is the talent coming through. So how do you get those guys to make the step up?
It's been a real struggle for Wexford. That, I suppose, and college is the major one that it always seems to come back. You know, UL and the Dublin colleges, the lads go up there, and the girls, they go up there and they play 20s, or they play AIL, say, in Railway Union or Baron Hall or anything like that for the girls. And it's very difficult for them to come back down on, say, a Tuesday or a Friday or a Tuesday and a Thursday, you know. They enjoy being away from home as well, but the challenge is, we're finished college, then how do we get them back to the club? That's the big, you know. Yeah. I suppose that's the difficult thing. You know, it's the million-dollar question. Like I said, Des Dempsey, who's the director of rugby in Wexford, where, you know, we're staying in contact with these lads and these girls, you know. So when they are finished college, you know, they are coming back. You know, we haven't forgotten about you. You know, you still want to play a bit of rugby. Are you interested in coming back? Maybe not as a player. As a coach, I don't know, but they're definitely going through a bit of a transitional phase now. A lot of clubs, especially in the Southeast, the peaks and troughs, you know, and it's about how quickly can you stop that downward slope. Like Wexford for years would have got promoted and then immediately relegated.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my whole senior rugby, you know. But then we got a good core of players and coaches, and we got promoted, and we stopped that free fall, aid and 2A and 2B. So I know it's not going great for them at the minute. They're 3 losses. We're very close against Portland, all that. But, you know, DA is not helpful either, you know, in terms of senior football and senior hurling and stuff like that. So but once that finishes, there'll be a flood of players that get back to Wexford. I know myself and Carlo as well, we have the same issue. County football.
Yeah.
Our championship football. They only started the third week of September. You know, we're okay for forwards because the front rows aren't usually playing cornerback or anything like that. You know, it's back to your usual chore, you know, when it comes to GAA and stuff like that. It's great to see, though, when they finish and they're still happy, you know, after having a slog in championship playing for the Balls or Sars or, you know, Martins, and they're like, actually, I'm wanting to go from this straight away to rugby. And there's actually a lot of lads, because literally across the road, that after training they'll just come across the pitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't know how to do it. I'd be going home. So,
and you look at somebody like Nick Doyle then, and he's, you know, he's playing football one week and he's winning the county title with the referees then, and he's, you know, scoring tries up in Derry then as well. Like, you know, we sort of highlight Nick Doyle because it's such an unusual case, and it's, you know, he's just seems to be this Superman, really.
Yeah, like I coach Nick in Enniscorthy and in Carlow IT as well, and I don't think he'd have any problem with me calling him a freak because he is. He's the same, you know, even when he was in college, he was rugby, he was also doing the Sigerson Cup as well. Then he was doing Enniscorthy at the time, then he was playing a rugby match or a Sigerson match. For the college during that week, and then playing for Enniscorthy on the week, on the weekend. Like, it was just crazy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's such an athlete,
unbelievable. And like we were talking about Wanderers, because that's your club, but, you know, it is kind of it's a Wexford thing as well, because we're seeing Charlie Tector come through at Leinster underage, and you know, Mark Boyle and obviously Paul Boyle. So, you know, it's a whole county initiative, and I think what's great to see is that there is this level of coaching in the county between yourself and Mike Bulger, and that there's this substantial level of coaching and a substantial level of talent in the county now, that, you know, this won't be just a flash in the pan generation, that there is processes in place now to make sure that these they keep coming through and keep benefiting Wexford rugby.
Yeah, I suppose in Leinster we tend to look after coach development a lot, especially with our staff through continued professional development. So we do a lot of workshops around game based approach and how we can help players develop in terms of skill acquisition and stuff like that. The Southeast Development Squad isn't actually just a platform for the players, but it's also for the coaches. So we bring in coaches, not just Leinster coaches, but club coaches, and they get an opportunity to coach a higher caliber player and learn from us and get to put it on the field as well. So a lot of those players, those coaches have come through. I think of, I suppose, Craig Blyden and Escorty, Des Dempsey and Wexford, Donny Tobin. I know Daniel Pym and Thomas Stamp gave it a go there, Badgers, two lads from Escorty, because they're school teachers. So they wanted to see how they could, you know, bring that back to their school. The lads there as well. So it's very much a platform for everyone to be able to get better, not just the players. There are, like you said, Aidan, there are structures in place for everyone to get better in the Southeast. And I suppose it's not just a flash in the pan, not a hope. No. It's onwards and upwards. And not to be forgotten, I suppose, the other one, Temmy as well from Enniscorthy. He's Leinster
Academy of course.
As well. Temmy. So but Temmy's an interesting one, actually. Did anyone ever tell you about the story, you know?
No, not really.
No, so we tend to break a few hearts in the Southeast in terms of their aspirations of what position they're going to play. So, a lot of players come in and they're sevens and eights and they're best ball carrier in the team and stuff like that. But you realise, okay, this chap or this girl, they're probably only going to be 5'11 or 5'10 and they're going to be playing in the front row, you know, so... Like, Temmy would have been one of those lads where we said, actually, you're a great ball carrier, you're a great tackler, but we think your future's in the front row, you know? Now, in fairness to him, he put up his hand and went, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And away we went, you know? Ben Popwell is the same. He was playing 12 for Wexford at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I did hear that. You know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we break hearts in that respect, but it works out for the better, you know.
Well, I mean, you look at Tadhg Furlong, like, you know, he has the hands of a back row and, you know, the hands of a back player, like, you know, and that's what you need in the front row now, that you're not just this big lump anymore to carry ball, that you need to have the skills too.
Oh, you have to, like, all players need to be able to catch pass. That's the thing, like, we see it especially at Leinster Youths when we're doing reviews with the coach coming in, you know, we're talking about players and stuff. All players, like, even at Leinster 17s, Leinster 18s, where all players can tackle off both sides, all players can step. It's like, what is making you stand out? You know, all players are probably 6'2", 6'3", you know, big players, you know. So what have you got? What's that X factor that's, you know, putting you ahead of, say, those schools players, you know, that can really put you up?
It's been brilliant to just dig into the mind of one of the leading coaches here and one of the leading lights here in Leinster rugby in the county. And as we've mentioned, you know, the structures are now in place in Wexford, that there is, you know, this sustained talent belt coming through, that Enniscorthy Scorthy are reaching the highest levels, that it's not just Tadhg Furlong anymore, that there is this, you know, level of rugby that's, you know, keeps getting better and better in Wexford. That's great to see.
It is, absolutely. And look, I suppose, Aidan, thanks for inviting me on. And anytime you need me, I'm happy to jump on.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So in terms of the walking rugby then, do you think that there will be a second go around? Will there be kind of a weekly thing? How's it going to work?
Yeah, I suppose at the minute, like I said, it's just a pilot scheme. So now we'll probably look to get in another group from another area and get some feedback from that and go, right, what works, what doesn't work. And then myself and the Wexford CCROs will come together for a review at the end and see how do we need to change and adapt. And then hopefully launch it out, you know, absolutely, with a big, lovely, fancy marketing campaign behind it.